This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. It is Friday, February 15th, 2019, a day after the corporate love holiday we call Valentine's Day. So if you did celebrate, I hope you had a good time. And if you didn't, I hope you had a good time boycotting it. We are going to talk all about sex and technology today, and we're live, so you can call in at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. But if you're not listening live, we still welcome questions and comments at our 24-hour voicemail line, 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. So before I introduce our guests, I want to just give you a little background about a recent scandal, because, you know, I love a scandal. Well, first of all, my mom called me one day and said, have you heard this story about the sex robot that got an award and then was kicked out of CES? Now, of course, I had heard the story, so I had to correct my mom and say it wasn't a sex robot. It was a sex toy. And she was like, no, I clearly read that it was a robot. And I was like, well, I believe it has robotic technology, mom. And we argued about it for like 5 or 10 minutes. But the fact that like my mom knew about this, this was a very, very big story. So essentially, this amazing vibrator with a lot of technology behind it was entered into this contest that happens during CES, and it won the honorary designation in the robotics and drones category. And CES, if you don't know, is the Consumer Electronics Show, and they have this thing called the CES Innovation Awards. So that was exciting. Glad to hear there's a new smart, bright thing, you know, on the horizon. But then the organizers behind CES actually took the award back, revoked the award, and then wouldn't even let its makers exhibit at the show. Now, they gave some reasons, like its product didn't comply with the rules because products that are, quote, immoral, obscene, indecent, profane, or not in keeping with CTA's image will be disqualified. Then there was a bit of an uproar, and they came back and said, well, it didn't really fit in the category that it was nominated in, and blah, blah, blah. So let's just do a little fact-checking here for all of you. CES actually has a very long history of having sexually related products on its convention floor, and some of them even do win awards. So there's been the Real Doll sex robot. There's been the Fiera Arouser for Her, which is a vibrator that has that suction technology. Oh My Bod makes toys that sync with iPods and apps, and they work with your phone, and they work with like Apple Watches. Naughty America has these really popular virtual reality porn demos. And then there was also a Kegel exerciser called Love Life Crush. And all of that, but somehow this particular vibrator just made them all a little bit freaked out enough to take the award away and to not let them exhibit. So let's talk to two of the women at the company who designed, produced, developed this toy and hear what it's all about. Let me tell you about them. Laura Haddock has over a decade of experience in healthcare, and after an honorable discharge from the U.S. Navy, she enrolled in a pre-med program. As a self-described anatomy geek, Laura became fascinated with the psychological, physiological, and anatomical aspects of the female orgasm. She left med school to design functional product specifications determined to produce the perfect orgasm, drawing on years of research and anatomical data she had gathered from hundreds of women. She founded the company Laura DiCarlo in 2017, and that's the company that produces this vibrator, and began her journey toward launching new physiologically appropriate women's health and wellness products. Sarah Brown has more than 6 years of experience in product development, marketing, branding, and retail in luxury intimate wellness and sexual health. She has managed luxury wellness brands globally, including in the US, Asia, and European markets. An expert in women's health and wellness, she loves creating products to empower women and people with vaginas to explore and get to know their bodies. Laura is the founder. Sarah is the director of sales and marketing for the company, Laura DiCarlo. Welcome to the show, Laura and Sarah.
Hi, Tristan. This is Laura.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you. We're very excited to be on the show.
So let's begin actually before the CES hoopla. Laura, you went from being in the Navy to wanting to go to med school and being pre-med and then making sex toys. So how did we get from one to the other?
Really, at one point when I was about 28 years old, I had this crazy blended orgasm that literally like knocked me off the bed and landed me on the floor. And I laid on the floor on my back and stared at the ceiling and kept thinking, how do I get that to happen again? And I looked for products. I looked for toys on the market that could do that. And I really couldn't find exactly what I wanted. And I do have a bit of an obsession with human anatomy, female physiology, and the physiology of erogenous zones. So I started kind of doing quite a bit of digging and homework about how to exactly elicit this type of orgasm. And so I started to design it. And one thing I wanted to point out is, actually, I'd like to know, Tristan, does your mother listen to your podcast?
No, actually. She doesn't. So do we want to talk shit about her or what?
Oh, I wanted to tell her she was actually right. This is not a vibrator. It does not vibrate at all, and it is entirely robotic. We've actually eliminated the use of vibration, and we have used micro-robotics to elicit biomimicry, or the imitation or mimicry of human motions and sensations. Also, with this technology, we aimed to actually create a product that fits and can conform to each individual user. So effectively, we're making a product that doesn't vibrate, uses human motions, and is completely hands-free, and also can fit and conform to each individual user.
Okay, there's a lot to break down here. Let's first just start with, because I want everyone to be on the same page, your definition of the blended orgasm.
Mm-hmm. So blended orgasm by definition is when you stimulate, a type of blended orgasm is when you stimulate both the glans clitoris and the G-spot or the Grafenberg spot on the anterior wall of the vaginal canal. A lot of folks don't know. I'm sure quite a few of your listeners probably know by now that the Grafenberg spot is a part of the clitoris. What we're trying to do is actually stimulate the entire clitoris by actually stimulating the glans clitoris, the body of the clitoris that lies underneath the internal and external labia, all the way to the inside where that collection of nerves coalesces right on the inside of the vaginal canal. So what you're doing is you're putting it inside. It actually conforms and fits and swells to fit inside the body so that it stays hands-free. and it fits over a range of pelvic angles and sweeps across where a range of G-spots lie, as well as stimulating the clitoris at the same time using touchless sensation and sensation throughout the body of the clitoris.
Okay, okay. It swells?
Yes.
Tell me about that. See, we got to get into the nitty-gritty details here. So it like conforms to the inside geography?
Yes. So one thing I wanted to do is that was really important for me to have. One of two reasons for this is I wanted something that was hands-free, and I wanted that fill, like that filling sensation. And so what I found is if you create that, if you swell slightly, you can actually sit the product so it sits on the pelvic girdle and doesn't slip out as easily and can be used. And it's very satisfying.
It also manages, what it does is it does manage to keep the part that is moving against the G-spot and doing that come hither motion against the G-spot. It keeps that pressed up against the G-spot itself.
Yes.
So I was thinking if it swells, then you get a little more pressure on the wall there.
Yes.
Yep.
Which is definitely, the G-spot loves some pressure.
Yes, it does.
Exactly.
Okay. There's so much more to talk about, but I feel like this is a natural, we've swelled and it's swelled inside us. And I feel like that's a natural break somehow. I don't know why. I don't know why. So let's take a commercial break a little bit early. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this incredible new toy, the technology behind it, the women who have worked on it. So stay with us.
Hey, why keep your crush
on the hush? The Pleasure Chest has everything you need to heat up your Valentine's Day. Check out their sexy selection of pleasure products and couples toys to please your partner, surprise your crush, or treat yourself to a little more self-love. Enjoy free shipping through Valentine's Day and get a free Volita vibrator with any in-store or online Fun Factory purchase over $129 through February 15th. Need a little pleasure refresher or a fun date night? Drop by their LA, New York, or Chicago locations for a free workshop on how to achieve the ultimate orgasm, improve your oral skills, give a better blowjob. If you can't make it in, this is something really cool. From February 7th to the 13th, they are going to be doing live 30-minute workshops at Pleasure Chest Store's Instagram stories. So every day this is going to happen at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And they're going to do tips, tricks, toys, a live Q&A from their sex specialists. It's actually a really cool way, if you're not in one of the cities where they are, to take a class. And as always, when you go to pleasurechest.com to shop, use the code Tristan and get a free massage candle with your purchase.
Hi, everyone. We're Emma and Finn, the hosts of the Normalizing Non-Monogamy podcast. Each Wednesday, we interview people from across the spectrum of non-monogamy to hear and learn from their stories.
So far, we've interviewed a wide variety of guests covering swinging, polyamory, kink, cuckolding, and much more.
Even with all of these guests, we know that there are so many different dynamics and stories to tell that we've only scratched the surface.
So we'd love to have you stop by and give Normalizing Non-Monogamy a listen, and maybe even share your story someday.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I want to give you our voicemail line again because we welcome your questions and comments. 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. Okay, I'm talking today with Laura Haddock and Sarah Brown from Laura DiCarlo, and I talked in the first segment about the CES stuff. Let's get that out of the way and then come back to this amazing toy. So I gave the background on what happened, but I have a few questions that have gone, as of yet, unanswered. So my first question is, why would they rescind the award and your ability to exhibit? Like, they don't want your money?
Well, I mean, they're a pretty big association. I don't think that, you know, $1,000 application fee was really a big deal to them. But the reason it became as convoluted as it did is because this actually came in stages. Initially, we were applying for showcase space because they give that to you when you get an honorary innovation award in robotics and drones. So you have to apply to be on the exhibitor floor. While we were applying for the exhibitor floor as for booth space, that's when they flagged us and said you can't be on the you can't have booth space because you have an adult product. And a few days went by and we didn't hear anything from them. And suddenly we got an email from the CTA saying that we are rescinding your award due to it being immoral, obscene, profane, and we kind of. Like our jaws hit the floor and we went, I didn't know that, you know, female and vaginal sexual health and wellness for people with vaginas was profane. So we responded to them and pointed out everything that was arbitrary and capricious, the fact that they have virtual reality porn on the show, they have other sex toys on the floor, and they've given out awards to other products. And they responded and said, oh, wait, there was just a misunderstanding. You should have never gotten this fire in the first place. So again, we responded and said, how did we get through the vetting of the CTA, the Consumer Technology Association? How did the product get through the vetting? And how did we go all the way through the process of being judged by a panel of expert judges in robotics, and they gave us the award, and you're telling me it went too far? So again, they responded one more time saying, you were never eligible for any category, and you're banned from the show. And then Oregon State University sent a letter on our behalf stating this product was developed in partnership with Oregon State University, which is the number four school, graduate school with robotics and drones, robotics. And it does indeed fit into many of your categories, and they never responded. So it was, we could never pinpoint down their true reasoning.
Wow. See, this also, there's a sort of a context in history here, because CES used to happen at the exact same time as the AVN Expo and award show, which is Adult Video News. It was kind of a perfect marriage, actually, because so much of the porn industry has driven or benefited from new technologies. And everyone has kind of well documented that. It's a fact. And so the idea that these two things were happening together wasn't just an odd coincidence. It actually made sense, since so much of the industry, especially right now, is all about technology. But then everyone changed dates so that they wouldn't happen at the same time, which I felt like was CES kind of distancing itself from sex. But also this, in the larger scheme of things, this also is really problematic when kind of out of one side of the mouth, these tech giants are saying, we want more diversity. We need to get more women in STEM. We're going to get more women on our boards, more women in power. And yet it really feels like there is still a major gender bias problem in tech.
Definitely.
I think actually we were going to say it's important to note that actually AVN and CES were not just at the same time and in the same place. They were once the same show. AVN was born out of CES, mostly because of the advent of the VCR and the technology and how pornography applied to technology. We wouldn't have had, the VCR wouldn't have actually made it in comparison to Betamax, because VCR allowed porn on their platform and Betamax didn't. Mm-hmm. But you saw a lot of things that were coming out of CES that were sexually related and porn related. And that's how AVM was born. They ended up splitting, and then they ended up splitting in time as well. And I think, to be honest, I think we're all adults. I think that it's far past the time for us to say, you know what, sex is fine. Masturbation is fine. And never yuck someone's yum, as Sarah loves to say. And you know what? What we're trying to do is really, really decrease the, really trying to destigmatize the conversation around sex. And the fact is, There's tons of innovation and technology coming out of the sex industry, or sex tech industry, I should say.
So I think what you were asking about had to do a lot with, there's this ask of we need more diversity in tech, and we need more diversity at upper levels and in the C-suite in tech. And by blocking out entire industries and entire spaces where, you know, we're starting to see more female founders and more female director level people getting involved, it really does limit so much of the ability of women to move into those spaces, or people of color to move into those spaces, or LGBTQ+. Anytime that you're blocking any group of people, whether it's sexual identity or gender identity or gender in general, you know, that, or your industry, you're losing so much of an opportunity to get other perspectives within that space. So I definitely think that's something that is a lost opportunity across the board.
Yeah. And in New York, there is this small collective that's been founded of women in sex tech.
Yes.
Right. So the thing here is, like, you're not the only ones. You're the only ones who got this designation, right? And then the only ones who got their award taken back. So that's how you sort of made news. But I feel like your story is also a story of how women continue to try to break new ground and are shut out.
Well, I think that's exactly the thing that we've learned from CES overall. We've really watched as CES, the news broke with CES, and we went through and we met with all of these people, and even the journalists that we were meeting and speaking to, but specifically in sex tech and tech in general, we had so much feedback from women and LGBTQ+ and people of color who are founders and CEOs, and who say, yes, this has actually happened to us. This is the same thing. We've been talking about this for so long, and we know we have, right? All of us have talked about it, about the issues that we've seen in this space before. It's just that this time there was a large actual story behind it, where we were able to make that noise and we were able to kind of be louder. Where I think what we're seeing is this issue with CES and the CTA and sex tech in general is just reflective of the entire industry overall. And kind of the reaction that we've gotten back just shows us that in so many spaces, there are so many opportunities and there's so many people ready to make this a movement and make this a larger conversation and spread kind of the responsibility for driving it forward further.
Yeah, I think what sticks out to me is the fact that as not just in tech and not just in sex tech, not even just in business, but in society as a whole, across different platforms, this dearth of diversity is systemic. It's a big issue. And I think what they've done for us is, honestly, the CTA did us a big favor. They spotlit this issue. And what we're really trying to do is call them out for it. We're not upset about it, but definitely I do believe that if we're really going to boost inclusion, then you need to hold the gatekeepers accountable. And we need those gatekeepers to start being more diverse as well. The people that are sitting at the table making decisions and the C-suite level needs to be more diverse as well. Or we're just going to keep seeing the same things over and over and over again that just narrow in and are very siloed on a very small demographic.
This really reminds me, as you're talking about this, of this latest Esquire cover story issue. I don't know if people have seen, but the latest cover story in Esquire was about this, like, white, cis, straight, young man, and who's probably, like, pro-Trump or something. And it just seemed like the most tone-deaf article, and also putting on the cover, like, in the world, considering what's going on right now. And that's the other point, is I feel like this doesn't feel current. This doesn't feel modern. Like for a conference that's about technology, I feel like their conservative values are outdated at this point.
It ends up, what it really ends up doing for overall is, and we've said this many, many times in terms of all of our messaging as well, literally what you're doing is stifling innovation. Mm-hmm. You're, if you look at the robotics and drones category, the other winners in our category were, there were two vacuum cleaners that were robotic vacuum cleaners. There was a personal shopper robot, and there were several children's toys. None of those products are products that focus, they might be geared towards women and marketed towards women, but they are all in service of someone else. It's the same thing with when you, I love seeing breast pumps win. I love seeing Kegel exercisers win. But still, all of those products are products that are in service of other people with a peripheral female focus or person with vagina focus. It's breastfeeding a child. It is having a tighter vagina for your partner in a lot of cases with Kegel exercisers. So I think that's absolutely part of the problem here.
Yeah, because this is technology in service to orgasms for people with vaginas.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, now you've taken it too far, right? Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's like the thinking process for the folks who made these decisions. It's like, okay, wait. Now you've taken it too far.
Wait, you mean you made a product that's just for people with vagina? Wait, no.
Right.
No, not allowed.
Right. Right.
Just humanize female sexuality and in
general.
It's atrocious.
Well, I want to hear more about this amazing robotic toy. We're going to take another commercial break. And then when we come back, we're going to hear, I think it does more than just go in there and fit your insides. I want to hear all the nitty gritty details. And I want to find out, like, what the heck are micro robotics anyway? So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. More with Laura and Sarah when we get back. Hey, gang. You may already know about the tried and true clone a willy to make a silicone replica of any penis. In fact, a while back, we had actual listeners try it out and their reviews were stellar. Well, now there's something brand new. The Clone a Pussy Plus Sleeve Kit. First of its kind, Clone a Pussy Plus allows anyone to cast an exact replica of a vulva in silicone and attach it to the included silicone masturbation sleeve. This is a truly one-of-a-kind toy and perfect for long-distance relationships. The creation process itself can be really fun, and the results make a great gift for any occasion. Clone a Willy is a woman-run company, and their products are sourced in the U.S. and hand-assembled in Portland, Oregon. And you know I've got a deal for you. Use the promo code Tristan for 20% off your entire order on cloneawilly.com. Hey, why don't you clone it and bone it?
Hey, why keep your crush
on the hush? The Pleasure Chest has everything you need to heat up your Valentine's Day. Check out their sexy selection of pleasure products and couples toys to please your partner, surprise your crush, or treat yourself to a little more self-love. Enjoy free shipping through Valentine's Day and get a free Volita vibrator with any in-store or online Fun Factory purchase over $129 through February 15th. Need a little pleasure refresher or a fun date night? Drop by their LA, New York, or Chicago locations for a free workshop on how to achieve the ultimate orgasm, improve your oral skills, give a better blowjob. If you can't make it in, this is something really cool. From February 7th to the 13th, they are going to be doing live 30-minute workshops at Pleasure Chest Store's Instagram stories. So every day this is going to happen at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And they're going to do tips, tricks, toys, a live Q&A from their sex specialists. It's actually a really cool way, if you're not in one of the cities where they are, to take a class. And as always, when you go to pleasurechest.com to shop, use the code Tristan and get a free massage candle with your purchase.
The internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking today with CEO Laura Haddock and Director of Sales and Marketing Sarah Brown of the company Laura DiCarlo, which makes this amazing new sex toy that has literally scared the pants off of sad tech boys. So we love it automatically. It's actually called, I haven't named it yet, it's actually called the Osei Robotic Massager. And we started a little bit, we warmed up a little bit by finding out that it can conform to your insides, since not everyone's insides are exactly the same. So tell me what else this thing does.
So just to kind of give you an idea of like where the information's coming from. So you know that everyone's G-spot isn't in the same space, in the same spot. And everybody's clitoris is not in the same spot, and everybody's a little bit different down there. To start, what I had to do is actually collect all that data from a plethora of people and ask them literally to put their fingers down there and give me measurements. Where is everybody's G-spot? Where is everybody's clitoris? And what I ended up with was a range of data. So what we're doing is it goes inside and it sweeps. We use a come hither motion that's elicited using micro robotics. That's tiny, tiny robotics that have been shrunk down into this little tiny package. We're using micro robotics to do a come hither that sweeps over that range of where most people's G-spots are. And then the external portion actually cinches down overneath the top of the clitoris to fit the pelvic angle of the user. And then it actually delivers a touchless sensation to the glans clitoris using pumping air. And it delivers a really deep thudding sensation throughout the entire body of the clitoris via the internal labia and external labia.
Okay. So there's so much here. Thudding. How does it produce thudding without a vibrator?
It's actually, it's an offshoot from creating the touchless sensation over the glans clitoris. So what we're doing is we're actually pumping... we're pumping the air over the top of the glans clitoris, and it's creating a thudding motion or a thudding sensation within the clitoral cup that we call it.
And is it similar, this so-called touchless technology for the glands of the clitoris, is it like these suction toys, which also use air in some new non-vibrating way?
So it does pump air over the top of the clitoris, which I find is to be the most effective way to stimulate the clitoris without actually causing desensitization. But what we've done that's very different is the method by which we deliver that sensation. I've actually designed a cup that fits within the external anatomy of the vulva around the inner and external labia so that it actually stays put.
Okay, that's important. That's what makes it sort of hands-free.
That adds to it.
Right. Now, how does this differ? So the only thing that sounds remotely like this to me is a line of toys from Fun Factory, the Stronic line. They call them pulsators. And when they came out, which was just a few years ago, it was sort of new technology. It didn't vibrate. Their technology makes the toy thrust and pulse inside you. So it can actually like mimic the like penetration as if someone is like fucking you in and out. And it also has kind of a variety of speeds and patterns. So how does this differ from the Fun Factory Stronic?
You know Stronic better than I do, Sarah.
Well, I mean, I think that the tech is different because this is not something that doesn't penetrate you. But what you're basically the way that the product works, Osei, the whole goal with this is that it feels like a partner, like the complete motions of a partner, a real human partner. And that the goal there is to do that come hither motion inside, which is more similar to what you would get if you were really trying to reach the G-spot and stroke it. And then on the external part, you're talking about, it really does feel like a mouth. That's really the goal with that. So with the Stronic, which I've been in sex tech for about 6 years, I used to work for Lalo. And so, which is a very well-known luxury brand of adult products, pleasure products. And, so the Fun Factory toy and the Stronics actually is more about getting that sensation inside of the body and it's not really hands-free in the same way, because with this product with Osei, you really are almost like set it and forget it. You have your settings on your you have your settings on your Osei. You know what works for your body. You know where it needs to be positioned. And each time that you put it in, it's there. It's right. Whereas with most other products on the market, with any of the products on the market, it you really do have to hold it in place. So, but I love that you know the Stronic technology and the magnetic technology that goes into that, because it's such an interesting field and area of sex tech. Definitely something where every time somebody comes out with something new, we're so excited to see it, because it's we're all pushing each other forward. And I'm super excited to see, like, next year after Osei launches, what comes up from everybody else, and how is everybody else going to push us forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about going to the ANME toy show, is there's like a whole school of people who are literally still making rabbit vibrators. And they're like, look at our new toy. And I'm like, by new, you mean not new at all. So there's a whole school of people that are just still sort of like doing the same things over and over again. And then there are people who are actually innovating. And it's hard to innovate in this space because a lot of stuff has been done. Okay, so I have another question, which is that I get that the Stronic is more about penetration, but there has to be some penetration with the Osei to hit the G-spot. So does it feel more like someone's fingers and mouth at the same time versus like mouth or hand and phallus?
No, it looks phallic in shape, but what we're doing is it's actually pushing out through the sheath of the silicone, and it feels like somebody using their fingers in order to penetrate the G-spot using that come hither motion.
Not penetrate the G-spot, to rub up against G-spot.
Yeah. So I know that the same action that you would use in order to elicit like a squirting orgasm, that gland up, it's the Bartholomew's gland, mm-hmm. I think it. When you push up against that, you can actually have a squirting orgasm. A lot of people, I know that some people are like, that can't happen to me. I think that a lot of it is just about really, really exploring your own body and figuring out maybe it can. That's what's really neat about this product, is that it's so customizable that each individual user can kind of really set it and really try to explore like what they really love or what they're not so wild about. And what's really cool about that is that when you start to understand your own body more, you can share that with your partner, and that brings people more close together. And this is another reason that we feel that we've had a resounding amount of support from cis males who actually want this product for their partner. And a lot of people keep thinking, oh, well, you know, it seems intimidating. Maybe it's going to replace men. And that's hardly the case. This is a really great teaching tool for people to learn more about their bodies and then teach their partners so that they can have better sex.
Yeah, I mean, the sex toy as replacement for men is a really, really old trope. And one thing I want to say is that after the apocalypse, we still need white men to be trash collectors. So don't worry, guys. We'll make use of you in the most demeaning ways, white guys, white cis guys. Okay, so see, this makes sense to me, because often when I teach my G-spot workshop and I'm teaching it to primarily straight couples, they're all like, how do I get her G-spot with my dick? And I'm like, okay, this is problem number one. You can't get it with your dick necessarily, because dicks like are different sizes and shapes, and they can't bend to like how exactly we want them to bend. And when you have penetration with a dick, you're like way past the G-spot. So I feel like that fundamental like misunderstanding of like, I want to rock her world with my dick, we still need to get over that hump with straight men.
No pun intended.
No, we do. But I mean, don't you agree? Like, I think that this is yet another example of how traditional vaginal intercourse is not a gateway to orgasm for lots of people with vaginas.
Well, I think that's also something that is very representative of where we are with adult products and with pleasure tech in the first place is, you know, if you'll notice, the robots that are intended for people with penises are very much like shaped like with the female body. They have, you know, mouths and lips and vagina shaped things and anus shaped things and butt shaped things. Whereas for people with vaginas, we're going in completely the opposite direction. We're not creating things that are hyper-realistic. We're creating things that are more functional.
Artistic,
but also just, okay, this is the motion that I need in order to get this sensation. How do I get there? Rather than this is the shape of the thing that I want it to look like, and then the mechanics of the sensation are less important. So I think that, I mean, that's not to say across the board for all products, but I think that's a very important distinction to note when looking at the products that are being created now for vaginas versus penises.
I think I was going to say it's very evident that the form definitely follows function in this design.
So it's not just a sort of orgasm generator. It's also an intervention into heterosexism and heteronormativity. It's yet another way to say, let's take the focus off intercourse and let's explore what really gets people off.
Oh,
I love that. So it's not just, okay, so you're going to quote me on that. It's not just a toy. It's also like a radical intervention into heterosexism. Okay, we're going to take another commercial break. People chew on that while you're listening to these commercials. Think about it and we'll be back.
Hey, gang. You may already know about the tried and true Clone a Willy to make a silicone replica of any penis. In fact, a while back, we had actual listeners try it out and their reviews were stellar. Well, now there's something brand new. The Clone a Pussy Plus Sleeve Kit. First of its kind, Clone a Pussy Plus allows anyone to cast an exact replica of a vulva in silicone and attach it to the included silicone masturbation sleeve. This is a truly one-of-a-kind toy and perfect for long-distance relationships. The creation process itself can be really fun, and the results make a great gift for any occasion. Clone a Willy is a woman-run company, and their products are sourced in the U.S. and hand-assembled in Portland, Oregon. And you know I've got a deal for you. Use the promo code Tristan for 20% off your entire order on cloneawilly.com. Hey, why don't you clone it and bone it?
Hi, everyone. We're Emma and Finn, the hosts of the Normalizing Non-Monogamy podcast. Each Wednesday, we interview people from across the spectrum of non-monogamy to hear and learn from their stories.
So far, we've interviewed a wide variety of guests covering swinging, polyamory, kink, cuckolding, and much more.
Even with all of these guests, we know that there are so many different dynamics and stories to tell that we've only scratched the surface.
So we'd love to have you stop by and give Normalizing Non-Monogamy a listen, and maybe even share your story someday.
Stimulating talk gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking today with Laura Haddock and Sarah Brown from the Laura DiCarlo Company, which are the makers of the Osei robotic massager. So when is this going to be available?
We are planning to launch this in fall 2019. So very, very soon.
Okay.
Yes.
And one thing that you're doing is you're also walking the walk in terms of inclusion. On your website, you introduce this team of people. Obviously, it takes a lot of people to build a robotic massager. And your team is, in fact, full of women and potentially non-binary people. People don't like identify, but there are not a lot of dudes over there.
We've actually started filling out the team a bit more. We have a few more dudes on the team. we do have non-gender conforming folks on the team, and kind of a pretty interesting spread of different kinds of people, different walks. But we are bringing on some males, and I'm proud to say that they are all firmly feministic. So it's really great to have them on the team. They're great engineers. They're great folks. So, but a pretty strong team of women so far as well, and folks with vaginas. So it's pretty awesome.
And when coming down to language, that is at its core, the way that we approach everything from the entirety of our ethos within the team, the way that we approach hiring is heavily inclusive. That is, we felt that it was extremely important to show the values of the people within the company, which is luckily and I think probably by design, but also just by serendipity, we've all kind of come together and had very similar ways of thinking in that.
Yeah.
Your language of talking about this as people with vaginas is incredibly inclusive and is not the industry standard. I think that also comes from maybe your nerdy obsession with anatomy, but I like it.
I'm not sure where it comes from. It's definitely, I think it's more of an upbringing. Our values are actually respect, empowerment, and integrity. And to me, that also spells inclusivity. And I grew up in a very open, thoughtful household. We talked about sex. We talked about masturbation. I was, even in the 90s and 2000s, I was still very aware of everything that was always going on around me, and it was always really important to me, and it's always been really important to the folks around me that we make sure everybody within our circle and around us is comfortable and feels included and is invited to sit at the same table.
I think sometimes we don't need to gender the body. You're saying, like, we've developed this technology and we've developed this product, mm-hmm. and it works for people with this particular anatomy, and you don't have to gender it.
No, you don't. You don't. The fact is, some men have vaginas too. Some people that don't identify as male or female have vaginas.
And I think that that's, for us, it's when we talk about the importance of having more diversity within tech and within health and within business and VCs and the importance of creating so much more diversity in those spaces. We also just, to be honest, we know that when you have more and different perspectives at the table creating products and creating marketing plans and creating content, you know that you're then creating better product. And then, therefore, you're able to market that product to a larger group of people and include more people in that conversation. I think that's at the core of everything that we do. Is the biggest value for us and where we see the most potential for, development and innovation is putting more people in a space where they can talk about that and talk about what works for them. And, if you're not using inclusive language and you're not really including everybody in every part of what you're doing, from hiring through product development through what we're doing B2C and what we're doing facing our customers, then you're not getting the most and doing the most with what you have.
Right. Well,
Speaking of development, I'm picturing this team right now in the laboratory, and they have like mad scientist outfits on.
Naturally.
So are there other things in the pipeline?
Oh, yes. Oh, gosh, yes. We are working on a couple of products that are geared towards couples play. We're also looking at the creation of some lifestyle products that we're really excited about. And really that's kind of on our long lead timeline is VR. We want to actually be able to create a developer's toolkit for VR for folks using this, using OSE and our other products.
So when it comes to product development, we talk about a product roadmap. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, we don't just have a product roadmap. We have an interstate and so many highways that jump off of that, because mm-hmm. there's so much that me being in sex tech for so long, and then Laura coming from a background in health, we all, and then everybody else on our team who are all just absolutely brilliant and just so full of ideas, we're all just sort of like, let's do this next. And someone's like, mm-hmm. no, let's do this one next. And we're like, no, we'll move over here. Let's do this. So there is a clear path for us, and things that are already in development for us. But at really, really, for right now, realizing the sky is the limit.
Mm. Yeah.
Obviously, you have your hands full with launching this one product. No, and because also, I think one of the keys to this product is some consumer education. So I always say, like, no one walks into Best Buy and says, what's a TV and how does it work? They just want to buy a TV.
Right.
But with sexual wellness products, often, especially if they're innovative, you have to actually educate the consumer about what it is and what it does and how they use it. So that's like a big piece of this also. And that's why there's so much sort of health background. It's not just your health background. It's like there's so much health and body stuff that you have to talk about in order to talk about this product, right?
Yeah, and I think one way that I would love to go about that, and we've kind of, I've realized that's a great way to talk about it, is to use a little bit of humor when talking about it with some folks, and really destigmatizing the conversation around sex, making people comfortable to talk about their own bodies and their wants and their needs. It's about making people feel comfortable, and then really educating them on what's going on with their bodies and what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the future. Like, you're speaking about VR and the ways in which you're thinking about this. This is the future of the industry. I think that slowly the sort of old guard is going to die out, and we're just going to have smarter, better technology that just works better for our bodies.
That's the hope.
That is the hope.
Well, I think that's a big part of the conversation, is that now we have such a fast point of feedback. So soon as your product is shipped to a customer, they're sending you an email that says, this is the most unbelievable thing I've ever done in my life. Or they're saying,
this doesn't
what
work.
Is this? And that way we're able to get that feedback. And I think that when you talk about education, part of it is, you're completely right, because the number of times we've had both men and women, people with vaginas and people with penises, come out and just say, so what's a blended orgasm?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you still have people who ask, you know, I don't have a G-spot. That's not a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And part of that will be, yes, there's a huge education piece to absolutely everything that we do. And that's, I think, sex tech overall and a lot of women's health and health in general is definitely about education. But the interesting thing is ours is a little bit more fun. Education.
This is very true.
There's totally nothing wrong with fun. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. I can't wait to try this.
Well, definitely be in touch. You'll hear from us as soon as it's ready.
So you guys can go online and find the company and all about the OSE at lauradicarlo.com. The company's on Twitter and Instagram at lauradicarlo_HQ and Laura DiCarlo on Facebook. So if you want to find out more, you should probably follow their social media so that you're, you know, in line, quote, in line to get this first. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Tristan.
It was wonderful talking with you.
I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, A-Rod, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the show. I also want to say in the coming weeks, you're going to get a two-part episode that I recorded live in front of a studio audience at Swing Set Takes Desire. And you'll get to hear from all sorts of folks who are at the event. This one is particularly personal and people like spill a lot of tea. So you don't, and there's some tea spilled about me. So you definitely don't want to miss it. And if you're interested in that event, you can go to swingsetdesire.com to find out more. Until next time.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.